Welcome to the Roundtable Podcast, a ministry of Westside Church that seeks to help those who have questions of Jesus, His church, and the call to follow Him.
All right, I want to welcome you, those of you who are listening again I guess listening, whether you're working out or driving or at home or what have you, you are catching another Roundtable Podcast here at Westside. You know, guys, I came up with the name Roundtable Podcast a couple weeks ago, and I thought I was really creative, and then I actually searched it, and there's about 10,000 Roundtable Podcasts, but there's no Roundtable Podcast outside of Westside Church. There's not another one here. So it's very unique to this ministry. Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue on with a name that, just like Westside, there's 10,000 Westside churches, and now there's 10,000 Roundtable Podcasts. My name is Norm Funk. If you're joining us, I'm the lead pastor of Westside Church. And again, just like last time, two great brothers have joined me at this round table. Matt Menzel, who is an elder and pastor at Westside Church. Good to have you, Matt. How are you?
Thank you. Great. Yeah, I'm great. Thanks.
What's new with you? Anything fill us in on?
So much.
Tell us.
I don't know if it's appropriate at this moment. Yeah, there's lots going on. Things are good.
Good. And the other person who's joined us at this table is James Bonney, who is an elder and pastor, the North Shore Campus pastor for this ministry. And again, it's good to have you. James, how are you doing?
Really good. Yep. Excited to be here. Still having another baby.
Still having any ramifications of me blowing it last time?
A little bit.
From who?
Yeah.
Your wife?
From my wife.
Oh, no.
But I said it's for the gospel. So
she was last week's listener.
She was it.
And one listener per week.
One list. Really? Do I need to call her up and apologize?
No, you don't. No. I'm telling people. You know, so
how far along is she? Let's talk about
13 weeks. 13 weeks, yeah. And just getting over the morning sickness.
Okay.
So you can keep praying for her. But is.
So June baby?
August.
Close.
August. That's good.
Okay.
August, I think 6th. Heard the heartbeat last week.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Awesome. Well, I know that primarily people don't. Download these to listen about our lives, but our lives play a part in what we do, and certainly are important. But I know that we have to talk about other things, especially as it pertains to the series that is quickly wrapping up. We're in the midst of the Holy Spirit series. Matt, you preached here at Westside, the downtown campus, on the Holy Spirit as teacher and comforter. How'd you feel about it? Maybe talk about some of the things that you really wanted to get across as a summary to that message before we move on.
I thought it was, like with anything we're talking about, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, there's so much that you want to unpack. And I find that especially with this topic, a lot of maybe the mental energy, you know, while you're preaching or beforehand, because it's such a confused topic and there's so many misunderstandings around it, I find there's a lot of wanting to correct. Hmm. So wanting to bring things, and you don't want to make an overcorrection. You don't want to take one error and then replace it with an error on the opposite end of the spectrum. So there's some of this correcting work that's being done. So, you know, for example, and we've said this a couple of times throughout the last few weeks, that the Holy Spirit primarily speaks to us through the Word of God. You know, that's a true statement. I think that's the primary way the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and you can back that up biblically. But I also think that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, so people hear that statement, and often because there's so much emphasis put on the extra biblical kind of speaking of the Holy Spirit, people will hear that, and almost their backs will almost go up to that. When you're not saying the Holy Spirit cannot speak outside the Word of God, but you're saying that this is, you know, I use that quote from J.D. Greer on Sunday, and I love it. I don't know it off by heart right now, but where he just talks about the fact that the Word and the Spirit are indispensable to each other, where you can't rightly discern the Spirit without the Word of God, and you can't rightly hear you can't rightly, and the words of Scripture have no power apart from the Spirit.
Right.
And I think that's one thing that I'd love for us to just talk about. I think it's really important for people. Where do we land on, you know, the Holy Spirit speaking to us in our day-to-day lives? And what does that actually look like practically when we open our Bibles? I think that's something that people could use.
Awesome. So let me maybe ask you the question, James. I know you didn't preach on Sunday on the North Shore, but in regards to the topic, not just Jesus as comforter and teacher, but Jesus, excuse me, the Holy Spirit as comforter and teacher, but the Holy Spirit as guide, the Holy Spirit as the one who guides us in our walk. We are called to walk by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Maybe make it very personal. How does that show up in your life?
Mm-hmm.
In what ways does the Spirit guide you? In what ways, maybe even by illustration, has he showed up in that way? If somebody asks you, James, we are called to walk by the Spirit, as Paul writes in Galatians 5, how do we walk by the Spirit? How does he guide us and teach us and comfort us and so on and so forth?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, just to piggyback and answer that with what Matt was saying, I find that the way I'm comforted by the Holy Spirit is always through the Word, and it's, you know, for example, you'll have a fear that God doesn't love you. Well, where do you learn that about his love? Mm-hmm. So you're comforted through the scriptures. You're comforted by who God is for you. And where do you go to learn about who God is for you? The scriptures, there's often fears, and fears are just doubts, again, in God's sovereignty, who he is. So for me, comfort comes in two forms. One, it brings the reality of who Jesus is for me in the gospel all the time. He keeps reminding me. He comes, you know, like advocate. He comes into the courtroom and goes, no, you're mine. You're mine. Look at my son. Look at my son. So I find that happens a lot in my life where I need to keep looking my eyes on Jesus, his righteousness, who he is, my identity in him, not in trying to build my life. And then the other thing is, I think he's a good friend. We're going to hit this Sunday in his work on convicting me, showing me where my heart is going after other lovers. He comes in and goes, hey, this is where you're drifting. So I've seen that. So, but personally, to walk by the Spirit, I think it begins just in the morning with him in the Word. It's a complete surrender of my life to him. And another thing, too, I'm learning with comfort is that, at least I think about the North Shore, is we're so comfortable, we don't need him to comfort us sometimes. So, like, we don't, you know, like when Jesus says that they'll drag you into courtrooms and persecute you, and don't worry what you're to say, the comforter will be there. I think we miss that part of the comforter. So I'm learning to try to live a little bit more radical. I mean, this morning, talking to a barista, invited her to church, that was really uncomfortable. But I needed, so he comforts you in after that, you know? So that's kind of practically when I look at comforter. I see comforter in the truth of Scripture to remind me who I am, and then a comfort in my everyday living for him.
And then there's the aspect of all of the offices of the Spirit that we've looked at over these last couple of weeks, and we'll continue to look at it this Sunday and next, that the Spirit works through people. I mean, we have spiritual gifts. So we can't, on the one hand, say we don't need the Word, and we can't, on the other hand, say we don't need people, because the Spirit speaks through his Word, and the Spirit speaks through people, comforts us through people. We have spiritual gifts. We have the gift of teaching. We have the gift of pastoring. We have the gift of, you fill in the blank, we have spiritual gifts. So the Spirit works through us, body, life. Now, I think we would all sit when I bring this up around this table and go, yeah, but there is, you know, there is a plumb line. There is a grid that we filter things through, and that being the Word of God. I think that's a given. I think at least around this table, I know people would say, well, it's one amongst many things. No, I think there needs to be a plumb line, and that plumb line certainly is the Word of God. The Word of God is profitable for training and correction and so on and so forth. Yet, the Spirit of God, in his grace for us, uses people to speak into our lives, to mourn with us, to pray for us, to come alongside and journey, to stand with the faint-hearted and weak. And so we have that aspect mm-hmm. of the Spirit working. That's why we need body life. That's why mm-hmm. he gifts us in his way and will to bring the body together so that we will stand strong. And that's mm-hmm. why we can't say, I don't need you, I don't need mm-hmm. you, I don't need you, because that's how the Spirit works as well. You want to comment on that? Anything I'm missing that you'd like to just make sure that we get?
I think even more specific, you know, than just the Spirit works through people. And you're saying this, but the Spirit works through the church, right? It's it's the people of God. It's the people who have been remade and are made alive in the Spirit. Those are the people that God specifically works through, and we need the church. If you're gonna a couple major errors that are happening today all over the place is this movement away from the local church.
Sure.
And oftentimes it's a movement away from local church in the name of the Spirit. And that's a really big problem. It's because it's like, I have the Spirit, so now I'm okay mm-hmm. on my own in the hills
right.
on a Sunday morning, not in the congregation, not sitting under the teaching of God's word, not corporately worshiping mm-hmm. with my brothers and sisters. And that's a mistake.
Right.
Right. I mean, we need each other. And then I would say on top of that, you know, another thing that walking in the Spirit really means if you look at that Galatians 5 text where we read, you know, if you walk by the Spirit, you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. I think it's lives of holiness. It's that work of sanctification, mm-hmm. which we know God's Spirit is working in us and we're joining our wills to it. But I used to have one mentor who would always say, it's, you know, you're building your no muscle, you know, N-O, like you're building your no, every, you know, when you're tempted to sin and you don't, you're building that muscle mm-hmm. and that's actually allowing you to hear from the Spirit more clearly, mm-hmm. you know, like as you work and we're not perfect, nobody's perfect, but that's helpful.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is in prayer. You know, just as we get on our knees, we're working through this sanctification. We're in community with our brothers and sisters. We're not gratifying the desires of the flesh, and we're on our knees. We're reading the Word, and we're in prayer. I think you're doing those things. You're lining yourself up to hear the voice of the Spirit.
Yeah, and just to go back to a point you made in the midst of that, I was talking to somebody this week, and they were talking about how, and they were saying it with great, you know, this great excitement, but I had to press in on them a little bit. They're saying, you know, I have the Bible, I have the friends, and I have the Spirit. I said, no, you don't. You have the Spirit through the Word. Mm-hmm. You have the Spirit through your friends, mm-hmm. the body, the church. Mm-hmm. And yes, you have the Spirit in you. Mm-hmm. But most often, and I'm not saying that he doesn't, but most often it's through the Word mm-hmm. and it's through your friends. And that there are those times where you have the quiet voice of God in you, mm-hmm. but not to the exclusion of the Word
right.
and the affirmation of friends. So it's not, mm-hmm. I can get rid of this, I can get rid of my friends, it's just me and the Spirit. No, just like you're saying, mm-hmm. no, these are gifts, and the Spirit, these are the things the Spirit works through. Mm-hmm. They are gifts to us. It's sort of like saying, it's not unlike saying, I have the power of God in me. I'm not going to preach the gospel. I have the power of God in me. I'm going to convert somebody. No, the power of God mm-hmm. is through the gospel message. This is the foolish message that he has given us. And so these are the gifts that he has given us to work and encourage and train and admonish and correct mm-hmm. and comfort. So no one can say, I don't need the church. I don't mm-hmm. need the Word. I can just go on long hikes mm-hmm. in the wilderness, and the Spirit speaks to me there. I don't doubt that he does, mm-hmm. but I doubt that if you're saying, I don't need these, I think the one thing that he would probably say to you is, get back to those things, because mm-hmm. those are my gifts, and those are how I want to communicate mm-hmm. with you. Mm-hmm. Is that
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
You want to chime in on that, James?
Well, you know, I think if the goal of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus known so that as we behold him, we become more and more like him, and then the means by which he does the building up is the body, right? 1 Corinthians 12, those gifts are all about that. And the Word. Like, I think you can't have any form of sanctification apart from the church and the Word speaking. That's where the Holy Spirit's like megaphone. That's where the lights are up. Mm-hmm. And I think for the guy who's struggling, goes, okay, well, I want to experience more of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I think that's where you just, you start there and you start, you know, start there. Get into a community group. Keep coming.
Now, let me just hit a topic, because I'm just, as I did last time, and I want to try to do this, just assuming the person who's listening. What about those times where you feel and sense the Spirit speaking to you? You go into a coffee shop, we've heard the stories, I feel the Spirit prompting me to go to speak to that person. Mm-hmm. And I've had those moments. I've had those great convictions. I would also say I've had moments, just even let's talk about the last 10 years of this ministry, where I, in no uncertain terms, felt prompted by God to do some very significant things. Let's talk about that, because that gets talked about a lot too. You know, people will throw out, well, God told me to do this, God told me to do that, God told me to do that. And I do believe that the Spirit works in us that way. We see that in the book of Acts specifically, where the Spirit does confirm. But what is the framework? Because sometimes, maybe a little bit too often, if somebody says the Spirit of God told me to tell you this or told me to do this, it's almost like, well, I can't really speak into that situation. I can't maybe question that, because who am I to question the Spirit? I think that's part of this discussion that we need to hit at least a little bit more and address. So let's talk about it a little bit.
No, I think that's good. And I think there might even be some differences around this table, the way that we would kind of express our thoughts in this way. I think that's okay. I know that for me,
as long as you don't disagree with me,
exactly.
So
I'll be careful. Yeah. I'll be careful not to. And, you know, I've had those moments too. I've had those experiences in life too, where you feel God impress something upon you, and you step out and you say something to somebody, and it's amazing how that opens a door for the gospel, for whatever else. And you just see God work through it. I think that's the Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit's at work, and I think the Holy Spirit can do that. We've been made alive. We have new spirits. We have new desires. The desires we have and He can give us a holy unction, a divine unction to say things and even to feel things. And all I think that's legitimate. And when somebody comes up to me, whether it's on a Sunday or whenever, and they come up to me and say, "Hey, I've got a word for you," which happens regularly. Mm-hmm. "I've got a word for you. You know, God's told me to kind of say this." If I'm honest with you, my ears perk up. Like, I'm listening when someone, because I want to hear that. Like, and I believe that that's within the realm of what God can actually do.
Sure.
But I wouldn't say it that way if I was them. And this is where we might disagree a little bit. When I have these things where I think, you know, God is impressing something upon me or impressing, you know, a thought, or maybe even giving me some insight into somebody's life in an area that I really have, you know, no way to know about otherwise, but maybe something to pray for them about or something to ask them about or whatever. Those are things that I prayerfully consider, right? Like, I try to prayerfully consider right away. I trust that because I'm a new creation in Christ and I have His Spirit living within me, I trust that I can hear Him. And so I put some faith in that reality, that biblical reality, that reality I get from the Word of God. And then I'll go and I'll take a step. So I'll go to that person, I'll ask them a question, or I'll ask them, or I'll say, "Hey, have you thought about this?" Or I will not say, "God told me," only because I just know that my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick, and who can understand it? And so I want to reserve the "God told me" for a text from the Word of God, from the Bible, from the 66 books. I want to reserve "God told me" for that, because I don't want to make that kind of a statement as if I'm speaking infallibly, if I'm speaking words that have come to my own mind outside of the Bible. Now, God may have told me something, but that word's not authoritative unless it comes from the Bible. That word can be checked by my brothers and sisters, and they can come back to me and say, "You know, I think that's wrong because it doesn't line up here." Whereas if I'm reading a scripture, that word is authoritative for all of us. We all are to submit to that. So there's a difference there for me.
And I think we're given that direction in places like 1 Thessalonians 5, where we are called to not despise the prophecies, but to test and to hold fast to those that are good.
Yeah.
And so I think I agree with you. I may not hold maybe the hard line on the phrase "God told me," but I really appreciate your caution and your temperance in that, because we have to be careful in that, and those areas where we are literally saying, thus saith the Lord,
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then backtracking and simply saying, well, I guess it wasn't of him. I think we need to be a little more reserved in that. However, I may not go so far as to say I would never broach that particular statement, mm-hmm. meaning that I think I may feel a little more freedom to say, hey, you know what, Matt, for example, mm-hmm. You know, I just really feel God is really impressing upon me mm-hmm. Some words for you, you know, and it's, you know,
but I agree with that too. I would say that too.
And I know you do. I just want, just in terms of totally what people fair. Are listening to going,
totally fair.
What does Matt say that God doesn't speak through me?
Just to be clear, that caution, when I appreciate your words there, that caution is coming from years of doing just that.
Right.
Of years of making that mistake and hopefully over time becoming a touch wiser and not wanting to continue doing that. But God impressed upon me, or I think God, what you just said, you know, I think God's impressing mm-hmm. upon me. I think that's a great thing to say. And I can check that, and we can talk about that.
Right.
Just to add some thoughts here, like, I think it's important that what God impresses on us is in line with what God would say in his word. I mean, mm-hmm. I've met someone who said, God told me to go stand in the rain, or God told me to, and she's terrified if she doesn't obey that.
Right.
And so you got to create some filters. Like, is this edifying to the body? You standing mm-hmm. in the rain is, and at the same time, but there's a fear. Like, well, what if God wants to tell me something in the rain, or what do mm-hmm. I do with that? Any insights on that? What would you say to that kind of person who's just so afraid that every voice could be from God?
Mm-hmm. That's my story. That was me. Like,
yeah.
Literally. Because I spent a lot of time in those streams. I spent a lot of time chasing conferences around the United States and around Canada, just following guys who had different gifts of the Spirit, whatever. I would literally chase them with some friends. And I remember driving in my car, and I need to get home, and hearing a voice says, turn left.
Right.
In my head. I'm young, and I'm trying to figure this out. I remember this time, I needed to get home. But I felt so convicted
right.
that I turned left, and so I did a few loops, a few laps, and I went home, and I thought maybe that was all God wanted. Over time, mm-hmm. I've realized that there are, and this is where we get into the subjective experience of trying to discern, right. really discern our thoughts, which is what we're called to do mm-hmm. as believers. But where you have to, you're exactly right, I think, you have to discern those things through the grid of the scripture, as Norm said earlier. Mm-hmm. This is the framework.
Right.
It's the grid. So if you hear some of those things, you can feel free to chalk that up to, I'm speaking to myself at certain times.
The illustration that I use in that regard is something that I don't know who told me, you know, probably 20 years ago. And I think it's biblical. I think it's okay. Illustrations always break down at some point. But in terms of talking about the will of God, because we're talking about the mm-hmm. will of God. So does, mm-hmm. you know, does God direct me so much so when I leave the center today that I've got to pray before I go left or right? The illustration that was used was, you know, when I say yes to Jesus, become a follower of Jesus, or better way of putting it, when I finally bend my knee to the working of the Spirit of my life and say yes to him and receive him, it's like jumping on a big cruise liner, and I'm heading mm-hmm. to a destination that is called Christ-likeness. And in that life of Christ-likeness, I'm given a lot of freedom to walk anywhere on that boat. Mm-hmm. I can go to level 5, level 1, I can go eat this buffet, or I can go to that sandwich bar, and I'm given a lot of freedom. Mm-hmm. This is Christ-likeness. Mm-hmm. Now, I can get in a lot of trouble, too, mm-hmm. Even in that journey. If I jump off the boat, so to speak, you know, in a mm-hmm. sense, and I'm not talking about salvation, or I go somewhere where I just know that that's a hindrance to me, it's going to hurt me. Yeah, there's that aspect too, but I'm still on the journey. Mm-hmm. I'm heading to Christ-likeness. But then there are times where God the Spirit says, I want you to go to level 5, mm-hmm. and I want you to do this for mm-hmm. this time in this yeah. period. I remember that when I planted Westside, and I've told this story in no uncertain terms. I felt called by God at a very specific time and place to yeah. plant Westside.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anybody speaking into my life. Now, it wasn't all of a sudden out of the blue. I was wrestling, praying, seeking counsel. It was a 2-year journey. I was reading much. I was assessing the city. I was doing a lot of that. But it was that point in time where I felt that confirmation.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was go to level five right now, mm-hmm. and you got to do this. And if I said no to that, I was being very disobedient to this journey that I'm on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think we would all agree with that. But does that make sense?
Yeah,
it's a fair illustration. I think it's a fair illustration.
Well, because it has purpose in it. Like that's the thing. If it's going to lead you to be on the mission that the Holy Spirit has sent us on,
which we know through the word.
So that's why you have these spiritual grids. If they're leading you there, to go for it. Like if you feel prompted to go talk to someone about Christ, I think follow that. Don't be afraid of that.
Yeah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There is freedom.
If you sense, exactly. If you sense God putting on your heart, you know, go buy an ice cream cone and give it away to that person. So it might open a door to have a conversation with them. Why not?
Yeah.
Sure. Like that's not the worst thing that could happen is nothing. Right? I mean, that's not a thing to be scared. But I don't think we need to say in those moments that, you know, God told me to do this, because it could very well be that you're sensing an opening for the gospel, you know, and God is giving you that. But again, we don't need to give those words and you know, assume those are God's direct words or God's direct commands.
What do you guys say about someone who says, hey, I got a picture for you, mm-hmm. I dreamed a dream? What do you say?
Well, I've had those moments. And I would say that some of them, you know, as I look back, have certainly borne out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being at the ministry that I was at before this one and I was in that stage where I was really fighting and wondering what was next. And she pulled me aside after an evening service that I was preaching at. And she said, I just feel like I have a word for you. I believe that you just need to bide your time and you will see a harvest. Now, you can say that's almost pretty easy to say, but I remember when she said it, it hit me hard because mm-hmm. I didn't know this woman. Mm-hmm. I had never talked to her before in my life,
mm-hmm.
and she hit something deep inside of me that I needed, and I really felt like that was a word.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like you, Matt. If somebody pulls me aside and says, I have a word for mm-hmm. you, I am open to that.
Yeah.
My inclination is always to be a little bit doubtful. I'll just be honest with mm-hmm. you, but I receive it and mm-hmm. I want to assess it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've had things said to me that have proven to be entirely false, have not borne out, but I'm open. I'm open. I know that there's different ways that people define the spiritual gifts, and we talk about words and words of knowledge and prophetic gifts. I'm a big Bible guy. And as long as it's absolutely consistent with the scriptures, doesn't go outside of that, I'm wide open
mm-hmm.
to it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I go back to something you said earlier and we touched upon. I think people are a little bit too quick with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I never like certain gifts entirely tied in. And we've talked about this before. Certain denominations, like mm-hmm. they have cornered the market on
mm-hmm.
that. I disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little skeptical with certain layouts of giftings, so-called layouts of giftings, usage of giftings, that seem to be just entirely connected with certain denominations. I'm skeptical.
Oftentimes I've had with the picture thing, I've had, you know, people come up and say, here, you know, I have this picture for you. And again, just like before I said, my ears perk up because I want to hear. Like if God's speaking, I want to hear. I think he can speak through dreams. He can do all that kind of stuff. It comes down to the interpretation. Is the interpretation a biblical? Is it biblical? Does it line up with God's word? Like for example, this wasn't a picture, but I had a lady come up to me a few weeks ago, and she said, "You know, I think I have a word for you. Is that our worship night, our Delve night?" And she said that, and so I'm listening. It was this sweet, sweet lady, older lady, blind lady. She was led up by her daughter, and she came to me. She said, "I have a word for you." And so I'm listening, and she said, a broken heart and a contrite spirit God will not despise. And I'm telling you, that's obviously scripture, and that hit me at a level that I can't express. It's just like, and then she had some encouraging words to me after that, and it was just like, it was a thank you, Lord, for speaking to me in that way. I've also had people literally lock me in a room, no joke, literally lock me in a room and say you're not leaving this room until you speak in tongues, because God has given us this word for you. It was really awkward when I left the room without speaking in tongues, right? Because that's what eventually happened. And so I've had both of those,
right?
But you don't despise those things. You test those things, as right. you mentioned. You test them, and I think it's really important.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask something else, but I've lost the question in my mind right now. Maybe you comment to his. You have something you want to say to that. What was I going to say?
Well, the one common theme I love about this discussion here, and I would encourage the listener who has these kind of struggles and doubts, is get to know your Bible. Mm-hmm. And with the Spirit, because it's the book he wrote, and you will be able to have a biblical smell test. Like, so when Norm heard, mm-hmm. Be faithful, which is biblical, and you'll have a harvest. And, you know, like, where's Galatians 6, where he says, like, don't give up. You're going to reap. Norm, because he knew the Bible, that smelled like it was from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Same with you. Like, that mm-hmm. verse, and mm-hmm. there's a girl in my community group, when she prays scripture, and it's, they'll come up to her after and say, that's exactly what I was going through. And mm-hmm. I love that. I love mm-hmm. that.
I know what I was going to say.
Go.
All right. I was going to talk about another aspect where I believe, you know, certainly that the Spirit works and speaks. And that is in our time of worship.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's important that we worship in spirit yeah. and in truth. So the Spirit of God speaks to us. Most mm-hmm. often it's comforting, and it's also reminding us who we are in Christ. If it's good worship, mm-hmm. if the words are consistent with the scriptures, it's the elements, right, mm-hmm. of bread and wine, communion. Yeah. It's time of prayer. Yeah. It's the time of the gathering of God's people together mm-hmm. corporately, which is something that is shunned, even by the most popular teachers today, yeah. that a lot of people that the demographic of Westside read, mm-hmm. where it's not important. I mm-hmm. couldn't disagree more with that, because it doesn't stand up to the biblical test.
Yeah.
The local church and the body, the gathering of God's people, as he purposed it with the gifts that he has given to mm-hmm. us, when we gather together corporately or when we scatter mm-hmm. in our smaller group settings, the Spirit works through that.
Yeah.
And so worship, word, people, all of that, but it's all Spirit infused. Mm-hmm. It's all mm-hmm. Spirit led. It's all Spirit directed. It's all Spirit mm-hmm. spoken. But God, in his humility, using these mm-hmm. things, right? Using mm-hmm. these things to convict and encourage mm-hmm. and comfort mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I'm glad I remembered that, because that's vital to us corporately.
And I think especially just that conversation when it comes to the ordinances, like the Lord's Supper, right? The communion meal that we observe every week here. I love that we do every week, and I think it gets way undervalued today. That I know that's a really general statement, but undervalued today. You just read 1 Corinthians 11, and you know, read some of the things that are tied to the Lord's Supper and the importance placed on it. And Paul, you know, saying some of you are sick and have mm-hmm. even died because you've yeah. taken of this in an unworthy manner. It's like God's Spirit is present in these things that Jesus has ordained that we do. Like right. sitting under the teaching of the word, right? We're devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching, inspired by the Spirit, right? Worshiping him through song together in community, praying for each other, you know, living that way, which we act out together as a big family on Sunday morning, and then observing the Lord's Supper, eating the bread and the wine, and proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. There's a spiritual power there, which is mysterious to us, which we can't completely define. But God uses that, and God works through that, and we cannot neglect that. We need that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we could talk about lots more. I wanna shut this down, just looking at the clock a little bit and wanting to not go too long with it. But yeah, I think it's and I really appreciate your thoughts. I just think in light of all the things that we've hit, that this is an important element for people to hear too, because we don't have time to illustrate this mm-hmm. as much as we would like on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's been this discussion. I know there's been this discussion in our community groups. Mm-hmm. But we want more Spirit,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. We want Spirit-led, directed lives. Mm-hmm. And as we've said throughout, we're not pitting anything against anything else. It's mm-hmm. the tools and the channels and the people. And praise God. Look, I get that if I was removed from all people, the Bible wasn't with me, and I was stuck in a jail cell all by myself, that the Spirit would be present.
Right.
I know that. I know that. Those are exceptional cases.
Yeah.
Most often, this is how the Spirit loves on us. Yeah. And praise God that He does.
Yeah.
And may we resist any teaching that pulls us away from the things that He uses.
Mm-hmm.
He's gifted us with it. So anyways, guys, thank you.
That's
I know
great.
We could talk a lot more on this. If you're, again, listening to this podcast, more information on this current series or anything that's taking place at Westside, either on the North Shore campus or downtown, can be found on our website, wchurch.ca. If you have any questions and you want to fire off a question to us, you can do that. You can email questions@wchurch.ca and we'll get those in our inboxes. So thanks for joining us and have a great day. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Roundtable Podcast. For more information about the ministry of Westside Church, go to wchurch.ca.